Now, back to music in Maryland. On the 11th of September at 4 p.m. at Smith Theater, Howard Community College in Columbia, the Knights, an amazing chamber orchestra, are coming to the Candlelight Concert Society to celebrate their 50th anniversary and kick off this incredible anniversary season. They're going to be playing music by Beethoven that has been transcribed for orchestra, and it is, of course, the Beethoven 9th Sonata, the Kreutzer Sonata. And I thought maybe we'd give you a little sampling of what this work is like and how incredibly it's been transformed, and I had the pleasure of talking to Colin and Eric about this amazing Kreutzer Sonata project. Let's start with the music. This is a very interesting project. You're orchestrating the Kreutzer Sonata, which, if there was ever a violin sonata which screamed for orchestration, this is it. Whose idea was this?
Eric and I are always bandying about program ideas and projects. And I don't know, this one kind of came up organically, but I think Eric was the one who drew attention to the connection that exists between Beethoven and his Kreutzer Sonata, and then Tolstoy and Janáček, of course. And
sure.
And the fact that, yeah, as you said, there's this inscription that Beethoven wrote quasi come d'un concerto in un stile molto concertante. So in a very concerto-like, virtuosic, outwardly virtuosic way for a violin piano sonata. And I was aware that there is a contemporaneous arrangement that someone made anonymously in 1808, a cello quintet version. So I knew that existed out there and just thought, wouldn't it be fun to make a full-on new sort of concerto out of this piece? And through that flowed this idea of doing something similar with Janáček's string quartet that was inspired by the Tolstoy novel.
When I look at this sonata, especially the beginning of it, I'm a guitarist by training, and the beginning looks like guitar music. The first four bars, which are so extraordinary, they literally look like it was written for the guitar.
Someone could say that they would actually sound better on the guitar. They're very hard and awkward for the double stops in the violin to do in a very seamless, sustained way. But I do feel like that kind of like arpeggiation is coming from more of a chordal instrument. And then Beethoven just says, well, I don't care that you have to suffer and do that on the violin, you know. And actually, I think he was very aware of the vulnerability of the situation he was setting up.
I think what you've done is really fascinating, and I'd like to know more about the arrangement slash orchestration process.
In terms of arranging, I guess I tried to be, in my mind, as faithful to how I imagined Beethoven might go about orchestrating it, though obviously in our arrangement, we're dealing with single winds rather than doubles, so that is possibly a difference. But, you know, for instance, the second movement is this great grand variation movement. And to me, it's very related to works like Beethoven's Septet and that idea of serenade. And there's an incredible variation movement in that piece, as well as in Schubert's Octet. So in a way, it's the size of the group is this nice mix between chamber music and a full-on orchestral affair. We do have timpani in there, which so associated with his actual violin concerto and thought it would help drive the drama in the outer movements of this piece as well.
Such a great way to pay incredible tribute to Beethoven and at the same time create something new. And who doesn't want another Beethoven concerto, frankly?
It does exist in this very virtuosic player for every person on stage. So it really does almost take on a concerto grosso aspect, which, you know, is great for the night's ethos. It's exciting to play what feels familiar and new, which is, I think, what we're always striving to do with the Knights and why we're excited to play for this special anniversary of Candlelight Concerts.
What do you think George Bridgetower was like as a violinist? Does the Kreutzer tell you anything about that by looking at the notes? Can you get kind of an idea of what he's like? Because it's not like any of Beethoven's other violin sonatas by a long shot.
I am imagining that Bridgetower, I don't know actually his backstory in terms of his training, but it feels like there's a lot of Italian style of violin playing. I mean, the way the first movement ends sounds like a quote from Vivaldi, Four Seasons, to me. And I imagine that Bridgetower would have been fluent in that great school of Italian violin playing that would have come down and not been that old at that point. But I imagine him to be an interesting virtuoso type, and I wish I could have been a fly on the wall to hear him and Beethoven rehearse it and play it the first time. And then also, why did they have a fight? What was that all about? No one really knows for sure. They're falling out, but it's not the first time that Beethoven, you know, took away his dedication to someone he admired, like Napoleon in the other case.
Let me mention once again that I'm speaking with violinist Colin Jacobson and conductor Eric Jacobson. They are the founding members of The Knights, and they are performing at Candlelight Concert Society on Sunday, September 11th at 4 p.m. at Smith Theater, Howard Community College. Colin and Eric, if you had to talk about the mission statement of The Knights, what would it be?
I'd say one of them is to, in some ways, shrink the size and increase the level of connectivity between the members on stage and with the audience. And a key element of that is, I think, preparing to be surprised. And part of how we do that is programming and is finding projects like this that brings the music of the past, hopefully meaningfully, into the present, promotes the music of the present in a way that invites audiences in. And I think that idea of breaking down barriers between each other in the orchestra, between the orchestra and the audience, and programming is part of that, performance style, rehearsal process, many things goes into that stew that is the Knights.
Eric, you want to weigh in?
Yeah, I think Colin got it. I think the idea of what we want to do is communicate as quickly, as potently as possible. And using all the things that Colin said and using this most rich of traditions, the music, classical music, whether you call it the orchestral canon or the expanded classical chamber music and ensemble, and figuring out a way that that can be the most direct and most immediate to an audience.
You You guys are brothers. Beethoven didn't get along with his brothers particularly well. And I'm curious, what is it like to work with somebody who, you know, you've known your whole life and you're also working professionally?
Silence. No, I mean, I am constantly driven by Colin. I've always been driven by Colin in the most beautiful of ways. I'm 4 years younger. I think as someone who grew up watching my older brother do these incredible things as a musician, I, of course, wanted to be a part of that. I wanted to see how to be a part of that. And I think all relationships, when working well, and also sometimes when working not so well, there are versions where we help each other and we end up pushing each other in different ways. Sometimes I play one role and Colin plays another role. And I think there's something very special about that in terms of countering each other's tendencies and challenging each other and really saying, oh, you got to really show the reason for this because we're all here together doing this. And boom, we need to know how it's going to be able to communicate to ourselves. We need to be able to justify something, but also be able to bring our fellow musicians, our colleagues in the orchestra and say, hey, look, this is the direction we're heading and this is the music. And believe us, because check this out. You know, we have to be able to be that convinced of something.
It goes back to the atmosphere we grew up in at home, which was two musician parents who always had musicians over just to play music for the joy of it. They're, you know, our dad's job was to play in the Metropolitan Opera Orchestra for many, many years. But his love of music really took place in the living room with friends, just playing music for sheer enjoyment. And so I think everything we've done has been an extension of that living room ever since.
Now, in addition to Beethoven's Kreutzer Sonata, you've also transcribed Janáček's String Quartet No. 1, the Kreutzer Quartet, inspired by Tolstoy, inspired by Beethoven. Did that make the work, which is really challenging to begin with, did it make it easier or harder?
Definitely made it harder. But in a good way. You know, I think what you were pointing out, which is totally true, that particular Janáček Quartet, I think probably like both Janáček Quartets, they are incredibly challenging works to put together. They are so passionate, so incredibly intense that it's hard to not get swept away. And then it's hard to actually be able to be swept away, but also maintain continuity as an ensemble. What we tried to do is expand the color scheme while recognizing that nothing could make that piece better. Janáček wrote one of the greatest string quartets that is going to continuously be played forevermore. And what we tried to do is just give it the dimensions that he might have added to it had he been asked to do it with a harp, with percussion, right. With single wind players. Sweet. It did not make it easier, but there is something incredibly powerful about that struggle with everyone on stage.
Yeah, and I would just chime in, as Colin here, that what Eric and Mike Atkinson did was, I think, try to meet Janáček's vision, which in this piece, and Eric and I have played it as a string quartet, that there's a vision there that goes so much beyond the notes on the page. And you could say that for any of the great works, any great piece of music. But there's something about Janáček that even more than most sort of asks you to have a crazy, fantastical world of color. And I think that's in this new version, some of those colors are given life in a new way. And of course, as Eric said, it doesn't mean that we should stop playing the quartet version. That's the original and it will always be there. But I feel like this piece is getting a new framing, which is special.
Thank you. Well, these arrangements are fascinating, and your approach to them is both old and new and interesting on both counts. And I'm really looking forward to the concert on Sunday, September 11th at 4 p.m., Smith Theater, Howard Community College.
We're so thrilled to be there for this special anniversary to launch the season and to play Viet Quang's new piece as well, commissioned for the occasion. So we can't, and we've wanted to work with him for a long time. So it's wonderful that we've been put together through Candlelight.
Excellent. Eric and Colin Jacobson, thanks very much. This is a great conversation. I'm very grateful for your time.
Thank you so much.